It's been another week.
Yeah. How's the ongoing saga of trying to get your food permit and liquor license? Still a struggle waiting on electrical for the hood vent now?
I honestly don't know what it is. There just must be some kind of universal law in place here that the more you need it, the longer it's going to take.
Yeah, I feel like that's true.
I felt like this was something that, you know, there would be tradesmen available. They would be like, I'm on it. Let's get this done. Even my closest friends who are tradesmen, like literally at this point, 3 weeks ago, I said, hey, I need the electrical done. And it's still not done. I don't know what to do. You know, at this point, I think I'm going to have to go out and get a master electrician's license somehow.
Three years later,
I'll get it done myself.
Yeah, fair enough. You know? Fair enough. Well, I'm looking forward to the day that we finally get to say it's ready and Chester's is fully open.
Oh, my God. I don't know. It's going to be a huge honor for the first person that gets a meal cooked on the new grill or something.
There you go. Well,
I'm going to cook it for the inspector.
Fair. Fair play.
I'm Scott Hess, tax and business consultant.
I'm John Barton, small business owner. Remember the tortoise and the hare? Slow and steady wins the race.
We started Turtlesmith to help people start small businesses, providing information and resources to small business owners and entrepreneurs.
Build a solid foundation and forge your dreams.
Well, this week we're continuing our series on holiday shopping and specifically holiday inventory management, which can be just an unbelievable nightmare for most small businesses. Do you guys have to mess around too much with holiday stuff in your business? Do you do specials for Christmas?
So we don't, in JB cases, we don't do any specials like that. We don't need to. We're busy all year.
Mm-hmm.
But we do field a lot of calls from people who are looking for those last minute custom Q cases, because they are unaware that it takes 12 weeks to get a case. So we do find ourselves sometimes, I don't think we did it this year, unfortunately, but we do find ourselves in most years trying to tell people, like in August, you know, hey, you need to get your orders in if you want any chance to have it by Christmas.
Right. Yeah, you got to order early. That's one of the keys to the holiday. Well, a few of the challenges that some businesses face, obviously increased volume and pressure, advanced ordering like we talked about, and just kind of the storage and logistics of all of the inventory that you have to get. I mean, I think a lot of stores like almost double the amount of products they have in their small retail space prior to Christmas. You know, those few weeks leading up after Black Friday?
Well, I mean, it is obviously the biggest shopping time of the year, you know. I would say that people who are doing it right are, you know, stocking high when they can.
Yeah, I feel like stores are more crowded when I walk into them between, you know, November 1st and Christmas. And then
I personally can't stand that as a shopper.
Yeah, when it gets too crowded.
Yeah, I can't. And just in general, I just don't like going into crowded places trying to shop and deal with that.
Yeah, well, I'm a big guy. If I have to like squeeze through aisles, I'm afraid I'm going to knock stuff over.
Yeah, there's that. You know, it's just, I don't know. I'm just kind of, I've always been that way. I just don't like crowds of people.
You know, me neither. I think we're connecting on that one.
But, you know, I do like to kind of go through stores when they have a lot of cool stuff and space and stuff. So sometimes during Christmas, I'll kind of go off on my own and I'll go to the mall, you know, maybe like at 11 when they open or 10:30 or something. And I'll just walk through the stores and stuff and just kind of see if I want to grab some Christmas gifts.
I think that's the time to go. I tend to just completely avoid the mall in November and December months. So,
yeah.
Well, some relevant statistics. Q4 revenue accounts for small retailers, sometimes upwards of 40 or 50% of their annual revenue. Now, this is more just for electronic, clothing, and specialty shops that have that huge fourth quarter. Other retailers, though, can be somewhere around 30 or 35%, which still represents a large portion of their yearly income, all in those short 3 months, October, November, and December. And inventory management is a real key to the success of your fourth quarter or your holiday season. Inventory mismanagement is the second leading cause of small business failure. which is crazy. But, you know, in managing that inventory is difficult. Over-ordering, under-ordering, they're both just as bad, and they really screw your business.
Driving up into the mountains of France to buy $5,000 worth of leather you can't ever use.
Yeah, that seems like an expensive mismanagement.
With your only $5,000.
Yeah. Yeah, then it's a real expensive mismanagement of inventory. You told that story before. You bought some inventory that you just couldn't use at all.
Yeah, you know, my dad gave me $5,000 to drive him around Europe when he was doing this medical thing that he had going on. And so he was helping me out, you know, investing in my small business, basically just giving me money.
Yeah.
And as I drove through France, driving him, you know, around, I saw that there was a place that advertised they had leather, you know, and I just said, oh, well, I should stop in there. And I went in there and spent the whole $5,000 on a bunch of great leather that would have been awesome for gloves and didn't work for pool cue cases.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that is a good example of inventory mismanagement, and it's why small businesses fail. Under-ordering is also a terrible disaster during the holiday. You know, stockouts, meaning kind of running out of inventory, up to 70% of shoppers just go to the next competitor. Loyalty really doesn't mean anything during the holidays.
When you're looking for gifts, man.
Yeah, when you're trying to get your Christmas done, you don't care.
Yeah, you want what you want. You got an idea of what it is, and you're trying to get it as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Well, the kind of breakdown that retailers usually look at is 40% they stock their core products, 35% of the seasonal or kind of holiday items or the big gift items that they're going to be pushing that holiday season, and then 25% of kind of high-end exclusive items. This is an average. It varies store to store, but that's typically kind of what you'd see. You see the higher-end products and the seasonal products like at Best Buy or Walmart. You know, they bring in a bunch of extra TVs, a bunch of extra computers, a bunch of extra video games, all that stuff. It increases their stock of those kind of holiday items that they're really looking for. But you talked about it earlier, advanced ordering, inventory lead times extend during the holiday rush because everybody's trying to get them. So what could take 1 to 2 weeks throughout the rest of the year might take 4 to 6 weeks, or for your case, 12 weeks. So you got to be ordering way ahead of time.
Well, you know, for retail stores, for, you know, a lot of the trade shows are in the earlier months of the year. So you're looking at like February, March, April, May, you know, you don't really see a lot in June because people have to get their orders in to the vendors or directly to the factories as early as possible in the year for Christmas.
Yeah. Walmart and big box stores are ordering in June for December.
Oh yeah, they're often ordering earlier than that.
Really?
Yeah, that's seriously. Crazy. And most of these factories will tell you if you don't get your orders in by like April,
you're not getting
your stuff because they're already backed up. You know, I had a situation like this where we did a trade show, and this was going to be the first time ever. I moved to Colorado, opened a warehouse there. Our production was in Germany. Actually, it was in the Czech Republic, but our office was in Germany. And the whole pitch was, and I put a big map on the wall, you know, signing up dealers. You know, we had a great time. To put this into perspective, at this very same show, we had only ever sold $12,000 worth of stuff off the wall. We didn't really take orders. We were just there to, you know, show people that we existed, sell what we could sell, and then wholesalers would, you know, take the rest, or we'd travel around and go door to door. This was the first show where we were going to have a warehouse in the United States, be able to service customers on U.S. time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're signing people up. This was like in June, right? So it was a June show. We're signing people up. People are making Christmas orders. We do $112,000 worth of orders.
Dang.
You know, that's a massive increase from 12 to 112.
Right.
Right. Everybody's happy, right? We got to put the orders in, everything, right? Well, we're edging closer and closer to Christmas, and my people in Germany are not delivering.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The Czech factory that was doing our cases, they went out of business, locked up all of our forms and all of our patterns and everything, we actually had to bribe a guard to let us in so we could get our equipment back out of there.
Good Lord.
And then we set up down the street with former workers in the factory to start making cases. But the long story short is that come mid-December, we still didn't have the cases. I delivered like half the cases to some of the customers in December, but I couldn't get paid from those people because now we're already too close to Christmas.
Right.
This almost sunk us like completely.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to tell them, I had to say, then, you know what, just take the cases, pay me like in, you know, end of January. And meantime, I've got no money to pay the guys back in Germany. The guys back in Germany have no money to pay the factory that just, you know, these people that just basically started a new factory.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having to make these longer, you know, payout deals with my customers.
Yeah.
You know? And so anyway, we got half the stuff, sent it out, you know, and then mid-January we get the other half and nobody wants it because it's after Christmas. So now I got to make further deals.
Even June was too late for y'all. You needed to be planning 3 or 4 months
ahead
of that. Yeah,
but, you know, again, that was...
obviously bad luck with the factory.
Obviously, that was a bad luck situation, but you can see how that works because all these people that were so hopeful that gave us that $100,000 in orders, they were super excited to be able to get these cases in November and start selling them through Christmas.
Yeah.
You know?
Well... you've got some good stories on inventory mismanagement.
Okay.
So first step in kind of combating the mismanagement of inventory is you have to have a good inventory management system. And there's a bunch of different ones. You can kind of make up your own or copy off somebody else. But these are some of the like basics or kind of big terms of inventory management. The first one is the reorder point system. This is the most common. So businesses set thresholds for triggering reorders. If you have 100 of a product, you wait till you get down to like 30 and then you order 100 more. Very kind of a simple method of handling your inventory. So it kind of takes into account the demand, lead time, and your safety stock that you want to always keep. You kind of calculate when you should be reordering and how long it takes so that, you know, if you get down to 30, you should hopefully sell those 30 right as your new order comes in. Make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. You know, and I will say this, that a lot of small businesses don't do any of that. They're just really seat of the pants.
Yes. Yeah. Which is not good. And the POS systems like Square, Clover, Lightspeed, I think even QuickBooks, they really can manage this for you, alert you when your inventory gets down. So there's no excuse not to at least do this.
Sometimes. But here's something that people need, small businesses especially, you have to absolutely do this and be aware of it. You have to be diligent about putting your inventory in correctly.
That's true. Yeah. If you're not using it correctly when you receive the inventory, what's the point?
So one of the ways that I've seen how that works out really well is getting a system that can recognize a wide variety of barcodes so that when your inventory comes in, you can just read the barcodes and bring it in, you know, case-wise, whatever. One company that I did work for after I sold my first company, I went to work for one of my customers. They created their own barcode system. And I will say that whenever we looked into the system and it said something was in stock and where it was in the warehouse, then that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. So if you have the ability, creating your own works really well.
Yeah. It's super important because customers call in. They want to know if it's there.
Yep.
And
there is an option too for barcodes. GS1, I believe, is kind of the main company that handles those. You can actually set up a profile with them. It's like a yearly subscription you have to pay, and they give you the barcodes. So they'll print them off, and they have them recorded in their system, which then interacts with other systems. So if you're a manufacturer, you usually get one of those barcodes to send to like to Target or whatever, and they're on that system. So GS1 works really well.
Yeah.
The next one is vendor management inventory. And this one is the easiest. And if you can get set up with it, it's the best. This is where your suppliers or your vendors actually monitor how much supply you have left and then automatically replenish you. it really is a no-brainer if you can get set up like that. A lot of small businesses are going to struggle to get this going with all of their vendors, but some of the key ones, you may be able to set this up with them.
Yeah, that's going to depend a lot on how much volume you're actually doing, you know. So a lot of vendors have kind of minimums, you know, before the thresholds, before they'll send stuff out. But I have heard of places that do very well with this, you know, and a lot of the big, you know, the big retailers use that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, Walmart's warehouses are famously almost completely automated at this point. You know, yep. Trucks come in on one side and robots literally unload it and fill up trucks on the other side, and they're just going out.
Yeah. The next one, economic order quantity system. This one's a little bit more complicated, and I actually have a little bit more information on this in our courses on Patreon, but this basically uses formulas to decide optimal order quantity. It's ideal for businesses that have super predictable demand. So like a coffee shop or liquor stores that sell kind of the regular amount. They have some big booms, but not a ton. So these ones would be kind of businesses that are mostly flat throughout the year. There's no big quarters or low quarters. But again, it's a little complicated with some of the formulas. There's more information in our courses. The next one, just-in-time. This is more for manufacturing, but you may have heard of this term before. Just-in-time is only ordering the inventory as needed for the job on hand. We see this a lot with like Toyota's real famous for it. I believe 2-second lean's real big into that. It's where you're just getting enough product daily or weekly to fulfill the work that needs done right then. No inventory is on hand for longer than a few days or weeks, depending on the manufacturing cycle.
Yeah, you could think of you also could think of just in time for like a bakery. Something like
yep.
that, you know,
yep,
that they're cooking as many cookies as they need for the anticipated demand, mm-hmm. you know, trying not to, their goal obviously would be to sell the last cookie, when the last customer comes in.
Right.
And that's it.
Right. The next one we have is one that's commonly used, and this is a more fly by the seat of your pants deal. It's the perpetual inventory systems. This is where you buy very low quantities of things in kind of real time. So basically, as you sell two or three items, you're reordering two or three items constantly. And it's sort of similar to like the just-in-time. You're just constantly reordering as fast as you're selling it. This is how a lot of businesses end up operating. And it can work if you're paying attention. But using this kind of system, you sometimes can fall into some shortfalls and stockouts if you don't have enough safety net or if you're ordering and lead times go too long, like if they extend like they can during the holiday season.
Yeah, well, that seems to me like it would be really dependent on the ability of your vendors.
It really is. And the holidays can test those relationships with vendors pretty aggressively. When you're out and they're saying they're out and you're yelling at them because you need stuff, it can test that relationship.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a small business selling some kind of goods, you know, that are in demand during the holiday, the worst thing that you can get is a reputation of someone who doesn't have stuff, you know. Then people just talk
constantly running
they're
out.
Not, yeah, they're reputation. Not even going to call you anymore to see if you got what they want, you know. But if you're the type of shop where people know they can always find something, you know, then they're going to come.
Yeah.
Or that you can get it within a day or two.
Yeah. So perpetual inventory systems, it does work really well too for businesses that have a lot of range of inventory, but maybe don't sell like one item a lot. Like a bookstore would be a good one, you know, where they have three or four copies of a book, they sell two, so they order two. That works really well. The last one we're going to talk about is forward buying, or basically bulk purchasing. So purchasing as large a quantity as possible at once, based on your cash flow, and just storing everything in either your retail store or a storage facility. It ties up a lot of money in inventory, and it creates the need for additional storage space or a bigger space for a store. But larger quantities can sometimes mean higher margins. And when you buy in bulk, you're never running out. So, well, you shouldn't run out anyway.
The Sam Walton effect.
Yeah.
Stock them high and sell them cheap.
Yep. Bulk buying. So those are just a few of the inventory management systems. There's a several more. And again, you can kind of make up your own. It's whatever works for you. Kind of do some hybrids in even there to try to just make sure you've always got enough product on hand to satisfy the demand.
Well, you know that the last one, the forward buying, they're just like consumers sometimes will get those after Christmas sales.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are available to you as a retailer as well when warehouses and vendors are wanting to get rid of the stuff that they ordered. They have the same pressures that everyone else has with inventory of trying to calculate how much and when.
Yeah.
So a lot of times they will have overstock after Christmas that they mm-hmm. will be wanting to get rid of. So if you do have warehouse space and you have the money for it, go for it.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Just save it for next year if it's a holiday item. So you should look at kind of what works best for you. And most importantly, really look at your cash flow, how your cash management works and what system is going to work best for your business. So what can small businesses do kind of during this crazy holiday season to combat inventory mismanagement and the holiday boom? Forecasting is the first step. It's always the most important. You should be forecasting all the time, but particularly for the holiday season, you should be starting early May, June, July, forecasting what your fourth quarter is going to look like, reviewing past holiday data, identifying trends, accounting for kind of growth, and then look at the market and sort of see what your competitors are doing. Forecasting is just paramount.
So another way to look at this is called data mining.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, great idea.
And everyone knows that these days we talk about how much the internet knows about you, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's not the internet that knows it about you. It's the algorithms that you're interacting with every day that these big companies, they're all the data that they're collecting on us. So that's how they can do all these targeted ads towards us. And it's only going to get more and more accurate, so to speak, right? Almost to the point where they can read your mind. A lot of small businesses, again, are just flying by the seat of their pants, and they're not even using the data that they can collect inside of their stores. You know, I know this. I know this much more accurately since we have been in business together.
Mm-hmm.
Since we just, you know, our manager that we just hired, you know,
yep.
we are much more accurate with that. I wanted to make a big change that I thought would be really is necessary in our cases. And it would have cost us, you know, maybe $2-3 a case to do it. And it would just make my life a lot easier if a particular part of the case broke. And my wife was like, how many of those actually break? You know, so out of the last, you know, 40,000 cases, we've had maybe 5 actually break.
Yeah.
But it just annoyed me so much that I wanted to make this change. And she was like, is it worth it to do a change that's going to cost us $60,000 a year?
Yeah, when you do the math.
Yeah. And that's kind of what, you know, that sort of fits this. But it makes such a big difference if you know your numbers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Know? And you really take the time to sit down and work with those numbers and see what they're telling you.
Yep, absolutely. Step 2 is sort of inventory planning. So identify which items are in which category. So you have your core products that we also call them evergreen products. Those are the highest volume items that you usually sell all year. We talked about roughly small businesses in the holiday boom kind of keep that number around 40% of their total inventory. Then you have your seasonal items, your high margin and exclusive items. And you want to identify what inventory you have falls into which of these three categories so that you can kind of plan out what your purchasing is going to be for the holidays. Pre-ordering early. We talked about that already. You know, I'm saying I put June on here, but you told me maybe even April or May is better to be.
It really depends on, you know, you have to have a good relationship with your vendors and mm-hmm. see what they're telling you on the score as well. Yeah.
Set your reorder limits early, so know exactly when you're going to be reordering stuff as you go through the holiday season. Plan promotions, manage that storage and shelf space, you know, as best you can. You don't want to have a too crowded store, but you want to get as much in there as you can. And then when you're doing your inventory planning, I'm a big fan, like we talked about in the last episode, of creating bundles for the holidays. If you can add low-cost add-ons to products, it really creates a high level of perceived value without costing you too much money. And that's one of the ways you can kind of combat the massive discounts.
Let me tell you something that really, really works. The ability to add personalization to any product.
Yeah, little card, little name, thank you notes, all great.
No, and I'm talking about stuff like monogramming.
Yep.
I'm talking about being able to engrave someone's name on it, you know. There are so many easy desktop ways to be able to do that to products that no retailer has an excuse not to be able to offer this on every product that it's possible to do it on.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
That's a type of value add that'll move inventory.
Yeah. And again, you're not going to be competing on discounts. So adding extra value, personalized touches, it really just makes all the difference for a small business.
Yeah. And if you take the time to really learn how to do it, this is something where you can price it in a way where, let's say it takes literally 5 minutes to do it. Once you get the process down, you can price that out at like 30, 40 bucks or whatever, and you can give it away as a value add to sell it. You know, you buy this product, you get a free monogramming, or you get half off the monogramming or whatever. You know, you got so much room in there.
Doesn't cost you very much, and it's a big add-on.
Yeah, absolutely.
The next thing you can be doing to kind of combat this holiday inventory problem is your cash flow forecast. Now, I recommend, and we talk about it really in depth in our finance course and some of our other courses on Patreon, 13-week rolling cash flow forecast. Have you ever heard of that before? Have you done it before?
No.
So cash flow forecast works a little bit differently than like an income statement or something. It's projecting when bills are coming due, when inventory needs to be reordered, when those bills are coming in versus what sales you're going to be getting. So you kind of take into account your payables and your receivables, and you make sure that you're going to have enough cash each week to pay for everything. And by keeping a 13-week, which is a quarter of a year, 13-week kind of forecast going, it's short enough that you can get some really good information, but it's not so long that it doesn't make any sense. You know, you're just guessing. So having a cash flow forecast put together will help you with your inventory management to make sure you have enough on the reorders. Next step too is staffing and training. And I think this is something that a lot of small businesses forget. You may end up hiring temp staffing, extended holiday hours, more business. You're going to need some temporary help. You've got to get the same level of training to those temporary employees as you do for all your other employees. I see a lot of apathetic retail workers during the holidays when they're just temporarily working the job. They're not as well trained. Cross-training employees, your current employees, make sure they can handle lots of different stuff. And then one that's often forgot is loss prevention. Theft goes way up. People are stealing for their holidays, which is unfortunate. But as a business owner, you really have to pay attention to loss prevention, or you're going to be losing more inventory to theft than you're selling.
I mean, when you're talking about a time when it's busier, you've got more stuff in the store, and you've got, you know, a lot more people to keep track of. They're definitely the people who are prone to steal are going to be looking for and using those opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So lots of things you can do to combat that. You know, make sure all your employees are watching, get cameras up, make sure you have a lot of deterrence, you know, cameras that are visible, deter people from stealing. Not always, but it's been crazy. I've seen people since they did that $900 felony, anything below that's just a ticket. People are just walking into stores and grabbing stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah. You know, I have to say that's one of the things that I honestly don't understand. You know, I'm generally, you know, we're not going to get into politics. I'm generally fairly liberal. But as a business owner, right, who also has products that are less than $900,
yeah,
I would be highly upset if I called the police and they were like, we're not even going to bother with it if it's under $900.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
The next thing to be doing is omni-channel readiness. So you want to make sure to sync your online and in-store inventories. If you have a good website, make sure that when people go to your website, if they see a product, they know it's in your store. That's one of the most frustrating things
ever. That is one of the biggest things for us that we had a problem with is exactly that, right? Is people will see things in stock. Someone will purchase it and they will come back and it will be gone. They will say, well, I saw it was on your in stock on your website and someone bought it in store and it's gone.
Yep.
And vice versa. Right. So we've had to really pay attention to that manually to make sure that, when it's gone, when it's taken out of stock in person, it's also taken out of stock online, so they're in sync.
Yeah, and there should be programs that sync up together to help you manage that on your website, but or just do it manually. But make sure it's right, because that's one of the things that'll kill you is if a customer sees it's online, they order it, and then they try to come to your store to get it, and then you're like, oh, we're sold out.
Well, one way that we do it is we actually use our online, our e-commerce software as our in-store checkout.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody buys it, we just go in like it was an online order.
Yeah.
And we just check them out that way.
Offering buy online and pick up in store, I think, is a great idea for small local businesses. A lot of people are shopping online, but they want to get it right away. They don't want to wait for it to be delivered. So if they can purchase it online and then pick it up in the store, that is a great offering for your business. And especially because when they come into the store, it offers kind of a window of opportunity for additional sales.
Absolutely,
or little upselling or add-ons or, you know, just any little extras. So
yeah, we probably make an average of about, you know, $30 extra every time someone comes in, because mm-hmm. once they come in, they're like, oh, you know, I was looking at this accessory online and I didn't know exactly, I'd like to see it.
Yep.
Stuff like that. Or we will recognize, or they'll say, well, you know, I need the case to do this. And I'll say, well, I've got exactly that thing that'll make it do that.
Yeah.
We actually have on our website a shipping option that says literally pick up in store.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's a great, great option, especially during the holidays. People are wanting to pick stuff up right away. You also want to ensure that the website and your POS system can handle the additional traffic. I can't tell you how many times I've got calls from clients who are getting crushed during Black Friday or something, and they're like, everything's crashed. We couldn't sell anything. We made no money. It's terrible. So make sure your everything can handle it, and you have backup plans.
To see, now the backup thing is where I'd say is most important there, because a lot of times the websites and the POSs, they really can't control that. You know, like a lot of times their POS system is on servers somewhere that are, you know, you might be sharing a server with a big e-commerce website or something that is getting just tons of traffic, and they didn't plan for their traffic, you know, and then you get taken down along with them. But what I see happen so often that really upsets me as a consumer is the following. You go into the store, you're right there, you wait in line, you're waiting in line to pay for your thing. You get up to the counter and they're like, my system's crashed, you know, come back later.
Yeah. Or listen, they say cash only and you didn't have it. They should have told you right away.
Listen, everyone, every small business owner, listen, there are many ways that you can take credit cards on a phone. You can get a PayPal account, get a PayPal business account. If you use Square, you use any of these major POS systems like that, they offer ways to take credit cards using their phone apps. Put it on your phones. So all the business phones that I have in my shop, they all have those apps on there. So if our online goes down, they can just whip it out, figure out how much it is, take the money. They can create a bill right there. They can say, this is for a blue 3x6 pool cue case. Type in whatever they want in the description, $369 plus tax. Give me your card. Slap the card on there if it's got a chip, or type the card in, or take a picture of the card. There is absolutely no excuse for letting that money walk out the door. None.
Agreed. And sort of the last thing then on the omnichannel readiness, just make sure you're updating your Google Business, social media, all that stuff. If you have extended hours or holiday hours, make sure that everybody's aware. Next step is marketing and promotions. So you want to have a a marketing calendar ready to go. And really, you should be starting a little bit earlier than October, November. But October, November, you should be working on pre-sales if you can do something like that. November, you should have some promotions. And in December, looking at those last-minute deals. Always good to have some kind of last-minute gift idea because a lot of forgetful husbands and people out there who didn't buy the gift they needed.
I think a really cool Christmas rug would be perfect for all of our listeners. $19.99, jbcases.com.
There you go. There you go.
I'm joking. But I bought all these lighted signs from a Joann Fabric.
Yeah.
And part of that deal was I had to buy like a pallet of these like Christmas mats, you know.
All right. Well, maybe we'll sell them. Turtle Cove, you smell it.
Maybe, so. Or flea market or garage sale or something, you know, but I have them.
So. A part of your marketing and promotion, be sure to focus on value and experience. We talked about last time a lot. You're not going to be able to compete with those discounts. Add that perceived value. And then the last one is gift cards. All small businesses, most anyway, should have some kind of gift card option. I feel like there's not enough of that for small businesses.
Yeah, I mean, we have that at Chester's. People can buy gift cards. We have it at JB Cases. They can buy gift cards, or they can create a virtual gift card.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing I would say about that is a lot of the bigger stores, the bigger retailers and stuff, they have... And I don't know how prevalent it is now, but I remember a few years ago there was a big thing about this where a lot of their terms and conditions would those gift cards would expire.
Yeah.
So you pay real money for this plus a fee on top of it just to get the card a lot of the times, and the value on the gift card expires.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just wrong. That's theft.
I think it's illegal in some states. Like yeah, I,
maybe now it is,
because
there was kind of a stink about it.
It was, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I would say probably if you're going to do gift cards, make sure they don't expire and make sure that your customers know they don't expire.
I think there's a rule that they put in on the gift cards where like if it's not used for like 2 years, it gets like a $2 administration fee every year until it's gone.
I mean, that
like
might
that.
Be reasonable on some level because right. of this, but I think that in most software systems, it just sits there.
Yeah, I think it does too.
It might be an accounting nightmare on some level that they've got money that they can't spend.
It is.
So I could understand that, and maybe if that's clear in the terms and conditions, mm-hmm. that's clear, but just expiring and keeping the money is pure theft. So
I
don't
agree.
Be that guy.
I agree. The last thing to do as a small business, and one that is way overlooked, is you need your post-holiday strategy. So clearance sales, what are you going to do with this leftover inventory? Is there a creative use for that leftover inventory? You need something to kind of prepare for what happens after this big rush, and some backup plans for what happens if you don't sell out of the stock that you purchased. And then you need to prepare for a down Q1 and 2. So businesses that have a big Q4... typically have a terrible Q1 and Q2.
Well, yeah, people spend a lot of money, you know, and the next big one's going to come when tax return season comes.
Yeah. So. Everybody kind of spends their money during the holidays, and so spending on retail and electronics and everything goes way down in the first half of the year. So there's some stuff that businesses need to be doing as kind of a follow-up to help with their Q1 and Q2. And this also works, it's important to know, it works for other businesses. Mine, for example, I have a bad Q4. Q4 is my worst quarter by far. People conveniently forget to pay me in November and December because they need their money for the holidays. They always are nice enough to get me caught up in January and February, but some of our monthly clients are not the most prompt with payment during November and December. And I usually go into the end of the year a little bit broke. And then tax season obviously happens, and I'm flush with cash by then. Well, not flush, but I have enough for the rest of the year.
So that's why I haven't got my new bicycle from you the last couple of years.
I'm broke during Christmas, man. It's always a good excuse, too. But a lot of businesses are like that. B2B professional services, manufacturing, real estate, contracting, landscaping, you know, terrible winters. So their money's made mostly during the spring, summer. And so this kind of planning that businesses with big Q4 can be doing for quarter one and quarter two. My business is doing it right now, doing these same kind of things to handle the downtime. And that is, again, cash flow planning, revisit your 13-week forecast, plan out for that next quarter, build your cash reserves, delay non-essential spending. And then really the downtime is you should be using for marketing and lead nurturing, operational improvements, and strategic development.
Now you're going to show people kind of this more in depth about what, how that actually works in practice in your Patreon, right?
Yeah, the Patreon shows the cash flow planning a little bit better. It helps with, we got some budgeting courses all in the finance, and I think I put it in the accounting course as well. A lot more information on how to do that. But if you don't, if you're not subscribed to the Patreon, which you should be, you can find out a lot more information about how to do this online. Not as great, not as detailed, but it's out there. But these are things that businesses should be doing. Budgeting and these 13-week rolling forecasts. This is how you plan. You got to have it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been working for us. You know, it's even this year, as we at the beginning of the podcast, we talked about the fact that my stupid ass hood vent is not up yet, and we don't have a kitchen going yet. Don't have beer and wine. How many times have I complained to you or cried to you over the past, 4 months about feeling like we're going broke in the pool room?
Yeah.
And you've been able to say, well, let's look at the forecast. Let's look at the numbers. And you know, we're not making a huge profit, but we're able to pay people. Not only are we able to pay people, we're able to hire new people and hire good people and actually pay a little bit more
yep.
to those people.
Yep.
So, you know, that's what knowing the numbers means.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you need to know your numbers more in the down times than you do in the boom time.
So, absolutely. Because, I've had days these past four or five months where I've thought to myself, and Lulu said the same thing, maybe it's just better if we just give up and, move back with our parents and not really, but basically move our business back into our house so that we can, reduce all of our expenses and pull back. And instead, we are actually expanding because we know the numbers.
Yep.
So if you don't know the numbers yourself or it feels daunting to you, like it feels to me, get with someone who can help you, someone like Scott. Having that expertise by your side is invaluable, because a lot of this stuff that is not your core function as a business owner. If you are like the guy down the road here who's the who does the toys and games, it's so freaking clear how passionate he is and how knowledgeable he is about, the world of collectible toys and games. And I would bet that he doesn't relish sitting down with a bunch of numbers and forecasts.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and he may not know how to do all that stuff, just like I don't know anything about what he sells except for that it looks cool.
You know?
He knows pricing on thousands of toys and collectibles and items. And while he can translate that into, pricing and stuff like that, it can sometimes be hard to translate your business knowledge into the financial data you need. And that's where we come in. So,
right.
And it's not just me. There are thousands of me's out there. I mean, nobody's as good as me, but there are thousands of other people like me who can do an almost as good a job.
This is quite a day.
I'm feeling myself a little.
You are. You're feeling yourself quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's kind of it for the holiday inventory. And, really just all these strategies are to help you not mismanage your inventory, not lose money, not overbuy, not underbuy, try to get as close to the target as possible. Any final thoughts on inventory?
Earlier we mentioned 2-second lean.
Yep.
I really honestly would recommend that everybody go on YouTube and look for 2-second lean. It's literally the number 2-second lean. It's a book by a guy named Paul Akers. He follows the Toyota production system, which is the just-in-time stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get caught up in the just-in-time stuff. Just go and listen to the audiobook. It's free. You can buy the book, of course, but mm-hmm. he put it all out there for free. Inventory, over inventory, overproduction is one of the 8 key wastes. There's 8 wastes. I'm not going to go into them all, but basically inventory mismanagement is one of the big things that robs small businesses of their profit and their productivity and your mental health.
Yeah, it's the, like we talked about, it's the second leading cause of business failure.
Yeah, and I didn't even know that. Mm-hmm. We were talking, we talk about the statistic of, you know, what is it, like half of small business startups fail?
So, I mean, I think it's way worse than that, to be honest with you. I think it's half within 5 years and then like something like 80% within 10.
Yeah. So, you know, the whole purpose of this podcast from the very beginning was to teach people who want to start a small business how to start a business correctly, mm-hmm. how to build it correctly, how to grow it correctly. You know, basically how to build that solid foundation where the owner of the small business can easily earn $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 a year, have a nice, comfortable living while still providing, you know, a fair job, employment opportunities for their employer, their employees, you know, solid relationships with their customers, solid relationships with their vendors. Basically, get rich slow is our motto. And this comes from the fact that Scott has seen at this point hundreds of small businesses that he deals with, you know, seen their books, and getting an eye into those books is like looking into a small business owner's soul.
It can be.
And it's frightening, you know, as a small business owner to walk in and say, hey, here's all my numbers, you know, knowing that something's wrong and not knowing what it is that's wrong. But the flip side of that is that when those numbers are looked at and really analyzed, you come out of it with a better sense of direction as to what I need to do, how I need to do it. I am actually stronger than I thought I was, and what the future holds. So our whole thing right here is to help you, whether you're going to start a business or whether you're already in business, to build a better business. So, I mean, that's all I would conclude with. And that's everything we talk about right here is in service to that.
Well said, man. I don't think I have anything to add. So, right. If you liked our content, join us next week.
All right. Don't forget, we do have a Patreon. That's going to be more in-depth stuff. So,
yep. We'll keep adding to that every week, hopefully. But there should be some good stuff on it soon.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
This is always annoying to ask, but if you're liking this content, please like and subscribe. It's the best way for us to get more followers and more people engaged in this great business content. You can also follow us on all socials at TurtlesmithOK and find us at turtlesmith.com.